You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 10th of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got an article today that I want to look at which really shows you the way that we should be going about doing things. It's about a protest group in Ireland and what they're doing is they're using statistics to make their case and they're demanding that the Irish government release statistics and data. And this is the way to make your arguments. Base it on facts. If possible, base it on the government's own statistics. I mean, I like to do this particularly with the David Lammy report, which was on the discrepancies between the black percentage of the population and the black percentage of the prison population in crime for violent crimes. And it's about five times their percentage of the population when they look at the actual violent crimes that they've committed in prison. And it's the government's own figures that tell us that. Of course, David Lammy's conclusion from that was to take the black point of view, which I fully support him doing because he should be speaking up for his race. And he says that this is all due to white racism and the judges and the police. And that's why there are five times as many blacks in prison for violent crimes. Whereas my argument would be, well, I think that that shows that black people are more likely to carry out violent crime, the same as men are more likely to carry out crimes than women. It's just a fact that men are different to women. And I think it's just a fact that black people are different to white people. And that doesn't mean that all black people are likely to carry out violent crime. It just means that they have a higher percentage of them that are likely to carry out violent crime than amongst the white population. And the way to argue that case is to use the government's own facts and figures, which is what they're doing here. And this article comes from Breitbart and it's headlined, Women's Coalition on Immigration Demands Irish Government Release Migrant Sex Crime Data. Amidst growing concern over the massive influx of foreigners into Ireland, a Women's Coalition on Immigration launched this week to pressure the government in Dublin to prioritise the safety of women and girls and to disclose migrant sex crime rates. Barrister and parliamentary candidate Louise de Bruyn said that she was compelled to convene the Women's Coalition on Immigration over a sense of disbelief that her government facilitated the importation of sexual predators into Ireland, endangering the native women and girls of the nation. This is excellent. She's not blaming the migrants. She's not blaming them at all. She's specifically identifying the government as facilitating the importation of sexual predators into Ireland. And of course, the threat that that presents to the native women and girls of the nation. And it's the same in every European country. The coalition was launched in conjunction with a 20-page report entitled Through a Safeguarding Lens. Remember that safeguarding? We were talking about that yesterday, weren't we? How they're using this safeguarding term as a cover for prosecuting and punishing people for having views that don't align with the establishment. Through a Safeguarding Lens Darkly, a thematic report into the international protection provision in Ireland, which compared official crime statistics and government data from six European nations, Austria, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Italy, and Sweden, And in Sweden, it's horrific. I saw a headline earlier today which was saying that 1 in 4 Swedish women will now be raped. 1 in 4. They now have the highest rape rate in the whole of Europe. And the reason why they have this high rape rate is because of the immigration policy of the government, which has imported sexual predators into Sweden. Exactly what this Irish group are complaining about in Ireland. According to the report, foreign nationals are on average 3 to 4 times more likely to be represented in sexual offences. However, it went on to note that this rose exponentially among certain ethnic groups. In Italy, the report claimed, Afghan and Pakistani migrants were 15 times more involved in rapes than Italian citizens. And it was just last week I was talking about the report that was done in Britain, which showed that Afghans were over 20 times more likely to be involved in rapes than ethnic British people. And don't forget, when it's talking about foreign nationals here, it's just talking about people that come from other countries. They're not actually including in this people with a migrant background. Because if you look at the statistics, you will see that even people that have been living in the country, that were born in the country, if they have a different ethnic background from, say, the Middle East or from Africa, then they are more likely to be represented in sexual offences. It doesn't change just because they happen to have been born on different soil. It's a cultural thing. And in some cases, it's an IQ thing, or it seems to be related to IQ. The lower a person's IQ, the more likely they are to be involved in crime. And you can particularly see that with black people. They're more prone to carrying out crimes, and it correlates with their lower IQ. The countries with a higher IQ, like Japan, China, they're less likely to carry out crimes. So there's a link to that. But they're not including people of a migrant background. They're just including people that are foreign nationals. And even when you do that, you see that there is a massive difference. And they're saying on average, 3 to 4 times more likely to be represented in sexual offences. That means they are 3 or 4 times more likely to be a rapist than the ethnic Irish are. I mean, that is a scandalous statistic that the government are trying to cover up, and the government are trying to prosecute people for pointing these statistics out if they're not careful over the language that they use. As if that's more important than the fact that so many women are getting raped. It's more important that we prevent people from abbreviating the word Pakistani when talking about the grooming gangs than it is to actually prevent these rapes from happening by changing immigration policy to limit the numbers of people coming into the country from these particular people groups that are 3 or 4 times more likely to rape than the ethnic British. The government has yet to officially link immigration to an increase in crime and or indeed to sexual violence. In fact, there would appear to be a policy of downplaying this link, evident in parliamentary debate and media reporting. However, the data doesn't lie, De Bruin said. You can see why she's a parliamentary candidate. She really gets to the heart of the matter there. And points it out, and that's what is going on. It does appear that they're trying to downplay this, and they're not just trying to downplay it in the way they talk about it. They're locking people up for drawing attention to it, for complaining about it. Like, how dare you complain about being raped when the rapist was of a migrant background? You should be glad that you were raped, almost. That's effectively what they're almost saying. If you complain about it, then you might end up being sent to jail. Factual analysis must trump political correctness, lest public trust in our institutions be eroded, she added. Well, I think trust in our institutions has already been eroded because of this. She added, pointing to the recent government-commissioned Casey report in Britain into the predominantly Pakistani Muslim child rape grooming gangs, which found that fear of appearing racist or of stoking ethnic tensions facilitated the mass sexual exploitation of thousands of mostly young, white, working-class girls across England. And that's, again, that right at the heart of the matter. Fear of appearing racist or stoking ethnic tensions. That's why they don't want to investigate these things. That's what they want. They just want to silence it, because it's more important to them to try and present this false image of diversity being of benefit to us than it is to actually look at the facts of the matter. Whereas what it actually means is that you have this grooming gang phenomenon. And it means that people no longer trust the institutions that are supposed to be there to protect us, because instead of protecting us, they're protecting the communities that have these grooming gangs amongst them. The issue of public safety in regards to mass migration was brought to the fore of Irish politics in October after a 10-year-old girl was allegedly raped by an African migrant. At the time of the alleged attack, the young girl was under the protection of the state and the migrant was being housed in a hotel at taxpayer expense. So they had actually taken the child from the child's parents because they said that we can protect the child better than the child's parents. And the result of that was that the child was allegedly raped by an African migrant. Now, it's interesting that we now have all these reports of migrant rapes occurring in all these countries where the illegal immigrants are being housed in hotels, when it was in 2014 that we heard about the rapes in Rotherham and we heard about the grooming gangs and how that was happening and how it was fear of being called racist that prevented any investigation of it. And the government condemned this and said how terrible it was. And here we are over 10 years later and we don't still have the grooming gang problem. We now have this other problem as well of refugee rape. And exactly the same thing is happening. The people that complain about the refugee rape are the ones that get prosecuted, the ones that go to protests complaining about the fact that their young girls have been raped. They're the ones that the police want to arrest. They're the ones that the government want to silence and put in jail. So they haven't actually learned anything from the grooming gang phenomena. Lessons haven't been learned, as they keep telling us. Lessons have been learned from this. They haven't been learned because exactly the same phenomena is happening again. People are being silenced for complaining about rape, only this time it's not just the grooming gangs, it's by these alleged refugees. As in Ireland, concerned women have increasingly taken centre stage in Britain against mass migration. Indeed, following a similar sexual assault of a 14-year-old girl by an Ethiopian hotel migrant over the summer, a group called the Pink Ladies emerged as one of the leading protest movements in the country. So this is good to see that women are now starting to be concerned about this, because if you go back to about the year 2014 and you look at the mass migration that there was then into Ireland of alleged refugees, it was women that were calling for this. It was women that were there at the docks and at the airports with signs saying refugees welcome. And people were saying, how on earth can this happen? They're the ones that are most likely to be at risk of this policy. They're the ones that are most likely to be raped. How come they're saying refugees welcome all the time? And you really didn't see very many women speaking out against it. So now I am very encouraged to see that we have women speaking out against this. We have these Pink Ladies in Britain, and we also have this group over here in Ireland. So that is encouraging that women are now starting to be against mass migration, whereas before they seem, in the majority, they seem to be supporting it. De Bruin said that a chief aim of the Women's Coalition on Immigration will be to pressure the government to release full statistics on sexual offences in Ireland by country of origin and ethnicity. Now, I can see them possibly doing it by country of origin, but I'm not sure they'll do it by ethnicity. They really don't want people to see that it's still higher, even when it's people that have been born in the country, than if it's just from people that have been outside of the country. She says, so that policy can be formulated on fact, not on wishful thinking or ideology. Again, it's great the way that she puts this, because this is what we've been saying for years now. All of this diversity thing is just based on wishful thinking. When you actually look at the facts, it brings nothing but negative results from it. The data from Europe is a stark warning that the safety of women and children is risked by current immigration policy. Again, excellent. She's not saying it's the migrants, it's the policy, it's the government's policy that causes this. Specifically by the placing of international protection applicants in residential areas, because these men are not screened via European crime databases, she said. So the same thing is happening in Ireland as in Britain. They're putting them in hotels, and what they're doing now is they're saying, well, we're going to put them in multiple occupancy housing. And all the multiple occupancy housing is in residential areas as well. And that just means that there'll be less multiple occupancy housing available for the natives, doesn't it? Really, it means that the prices are going to go up. It means that the people that own these houses are going to be more likely to rent to migrants because they're guaranteed to get the money from the government. And it makes it even harder for young natives to actually move out from home, move out from their parents. The co-author of the report, journalist Barbara McCarthy, said, "This report breaks new ground by confronting the changing patterns of sexual crime in Europe, from stranger assaults to group-based offending, and by insisting that Ireland can no longer operate without disaggregated, transparent data." So that means not lumping it all together in a group, but breaking it down by the individual statistics, by the ethnic group. "We cannot respond effectively to evolving risks if we refuse to measure the risks honestly. Across Europe, the nature of sexual violence is shifting. Alongside traditional patterns of offending, we are now seeing a marked rise in opportunistic street attacks and group-based assaults, often involving multiple perpetrators acting together in public spaces." This is something that never happened before. You would never have gang rapes occurring in the centre of European cities. This is something that is predominantly linked to men of migrant background, not natives of these countries. And just to show that the same thing is happening in Britain, that is happening in Ireland, we have another report that's come out today. "Afghan asylum seekers who raped girl 15 after arriving in Britain on small boats, jailed." So again, this is an instance of multiple rape. It two men together carrying this out. It wasn't one heard that this was going on and then prevented the other one. One heard this was going on and joined in. You know, that's the difference. That's the cultural difference between what would happen, what would traditionally happen in Europe, is that if you knew something like this was going on, you would prevent it. And when these sorts of things happen in other countries, in Asian countries, in the Middle East or in India, instead of putting a stop to it, other people join in. That's the horrific aspect of this. "Two Afghan small boat migrants have been jailed following the rape of a 15-year-old girl in Leamington Spa. The pair, both 17, were handed sentences at Warwick Crown Court for the offence, which was committed in May this year. Jan Jahanzeb was handed a term of 10 years and 8 months, while Isra Nirzal received 9 years and 10 months following their guilty pleas at Coventry Youth Court in October for the attack. Judge Silvia de Bortadano permitted the teenagers to be publicly identified," and this is good that she did this, "arguing that preserving anonymity could fuel speculation, potentially putting innocent individuals at risk. You could get Afghans that had nothing whatsoever to do with this, that could be blamed for this, could be attacked for this. This is why you have to say exactly who it was that did it. A lack of information stokes public anger and leads to the unchecked spread of false information," she stated. "Both defendants appeared in the dock with the assistance of interpreters, as the court heard details of what was described as a horrific assault." So they didn't even speak English. They were in this country and they didn't even speak English. Prosecutor Sean Williams told the court that both teenagers were unaccompanied child asylum seekers when they carried out the attack in Parkland after the victim became separated from her friends. So they had told the government that they were under the age of 18, so they needed child protection, and then what they've actually done is they've gone out and they've raped a child. The court heard that Jahanzeb fled Afghanistan and arrived in the UK in January this year with an age assessment determining he was 17. Nearzahl reached Britain in November last year, initially housed in Kent. So he's housed in Kent, so he was probably put with foster parents before being transferred to local authority care in Warwickshire. Joshua Radcliffe, representing Nearzahl, acknowledged the offence was horrible and warranted substantial detention. "He has come to this country seeking to get away from the Taliban," Mr. Radcliffe said. "Isn't that interesting? They've been found guilty of rape, and their defence is reported as making excuses for them, trying to get people to feel sorry for them. When you see somebody from the supposed extreme right wing or nationalist, and they've been prosecuted for something, they've been sent to jail for something, you don't read what their solicitor has to say, making excuses for it. They don't put that in the newspapers, do they? But they do put this in the newspaper, trying to make any excuses and get you to feel sorry for him, saying, oh, he was trying to get away from the Taliban. You don't see when a nationalist has been put in jail, oh, well, he was trying to complain about the grooming gangs. He was trying to draw attention to it, to stop it from happening. Yeah, you don't hear that. He says his father, who was in the Afghan army, was murdered, he continued. So he's telling us to feel sorry for this person. Mr. Radcliffe added that his client remained in the asylum process and intended to make a life in this country after he has been released. So he's not even going to be kicked out. Nearzahl entered his guilty plea one day before turning 17, the threshold age for automatic deportation of foreign nationals receiving custodial sentences exceeding 1 year. So he's quite happy because he's just going to get sent back to Afghanistan. That's why he's done that. Robert Holt, defending Jahanzeb, explained his client spent 9 months travelling from Afghanistan, ultimately reaching British waters by small boat. He has already received his deportation papers. Highly distressing video evidence obtained during the police investigation showed Jahanzeb with the victim speaking in Pashtun to call Nearzahl to join him. So this is what I mean. You wouldn't get that with Europeans. You wouldn't get something like this happening and then calling over to the other Europeans, come and join me in this gang rape. The other Europeans would likely go over there and prevent it from happening. They wouldn't go and join in. Mr. Williams characterised the incident as an abduction, during which the girl made explicit verbal protests. CCTV captured three figures, with the prosecutor stating she was being led away against her will. She was moved to a bushy den-type area, a really secluded location. So they literally dragged this girl into the bushes. A member of the public came to her aid after the attack, advising her to contact police and remaining with her until she was safe. The court heard a victim impact statement read by a barrister in which the girl, who cannot be named, described the profound effect of the assault. Now, obviously, this is horrific. But what these Afghans have seen, they've seen a girl that's not dressed in a burqa. They've seen a girl that is the equivalent of a naked girl to them. And they've dragged her into the bushes and raped her, because that's the sort of thing that happens in Afghanistan. That's why this has happened. And our government knows that's the sort of thing that happens in Afghanistan. I saw a clip the other day, and it was the former president of Pakistan, and he was talking about the number of young boys on the streets there that have been raped. Every single one of them has been raped. Every one of these young boys, these young street boys, homeless boys, have been raped. And it's just one of these horrible things that happen in these countries. And these things now happen in our countries because our government have imported these people that sadly carry these things out. She said, "The day I was raped changed me as a person. Now every time I go out, I don't feel safe. Watching other family members feeling crushed as they believe they should have been there or done something is particularly painful for me, even though I know they couldn't have done anything to stop what happened," she said. "I hate the fact that I am now looked at as a victim, even though that's exactly what I am," she said. Yes, she's a victim of the government's immigration policy. The judge told Jahanzeb and Nearzahl, "What you two did on that evening changed her life forever. No child should have to suffer the ordeal that she suffered. It is clear from the footage we have seen that no one can seriously entertain the thought that you believed she was consenting." They thought she was consenting because she wasn't wearing a burqa. That's the mentality. They thought that she was walking around naked. That's what people have got to understand. Men from Afghanistan are not used to seeing women. And it is the equivalent of them seeing women walking around naked. You know, I've seen videos where European men have taken Afghans and Pakistanis to task because they've been outside children's play areas filming them. And they're filming them so that they can send it back to Afghanistan and Pakistan because they can say, look, all the European women run around naked. All their young girls run around naked. That's why they're filming it. We would look at it and just say, oh, well, it's children playing in a children's play area on a venture playground or whatever. But to them, that's naked young girls running around. That's the difference. And our government knows that's the way that they look at them. The majority of them look at women. And it's not something they could help either. If you're a man and you've never seen a naked woman before, all you've seen is your own family, and the only women that you've seen are wearing burqas. And then you suddenly see a Western woman with makeup on, and you can see her arms and you can see her legs. That's the equivalent of seeing a naked woman to them. They're going to be aroused at that. And they're the sort of people, they're not used to controlling their feelings on seeing that, because they're used to seeing women in burqas. They're not used to having to control their feelings. And then horrific things like this happen. That's the cause of this. And the government know that these things are likely to happen, but they still let it go on. They just lock people up for, like me, like myself, for complaining about it. He said, you both knew perfectly well that what you were doing was criminal and wrong. This is what the judge had to say about it. Now, I've got another article here just to highlight the way that people complain about these things are the ones that actually get prosecuted, or get prosecuted more than the people that actually carry this out. And in this article, we can also see the mentality of the people that carry these things out. And this is an older article. It's from the New York Post. A German woman was handed down a harsher sentence than a convicted rapist after she called him a disgraceful rapist pig. And the man was of migrant background, of course. Major R, 20, was jailed for a weekend. Remember, she got more jail time than the rapist. That means the rapist didn't get any jail time. After she was found guilty of defaming the man who was one of 9 attackers who had gang raped a 15-year-old girl in a Hamburg park 4 years earlier, according to reports. The man had only been given a suspended sentence and served no time in prison due to his age, the New Zealand Herald reported. Exactly the same sort of thing happening as in the last article that we talked about. Gang rape, and apparently they were underage. Thankfully in Britain, they've been given a proper sentence and we've been told who they are. But in Germany, he wasn't even sent to jail because of his age. Major R reportedly did not know the rapist, but was one of at least 140 people who sent him disparaging messages via WhatsApp after his name and number were leaked on Snapchat. Aren't you ashamed when you look in the mirror, she wrote, calling him a disgraceful rapist pig and a disgusting freak. Which I would say is, you know, quite... would be the common feelings that people would feel when learning about this. Perhaps it's not so good to personally send somebody a message saying that, but feeling that, I would say, is completely natural. She also told the criminal that he couldn't go anywhere without getting kicked in the face and said, let's hope you are just locked away. She's not actually saying anything racist there. Major R told the court she sent the message without thinking twice. A brave action for a country with notoriously strict defamation laws. The paediatric nursing student did, however, apologise to the rapist, telling the court it didn't help anyone. So she was pretty much forced to apologise to the rapist to try and get less of a sentence, I would suggest. The man, who was not named by the New Zealand Herald, was one of 9 teenage boys convicted of abusing the 15-year-old girl for a number of hours in September 2020. So you've got 9 people of migrant extraction, 9 of them, all saying that they're under the age of 18, raping a 15-year-old girl for hours, and they weren't jailed, and someone who complains about this, she gets jail time. Almost all evaded jail time because of German juvenile law, except for one Iranian national who brazenly accepted responsibility for the rape by telling the court, "What man doesn't want that?" And that's exactly what I've been saying, isn't it? That's the way that they think. it's acceptable to them. What they've seen what they see as a naked girl walking around. He comes from Iran. They have to wear burqas in Iran as well. So he is amazed that he's actually being sent to jail for this, because it's a naked woman that's walking around. Again, it's the government that are at fault. And this man here, who is in court, this rapist here, he is showing you that what I'm saying is the truth. That is the way that they think. He's just told the court, what man doesn't want that? What man wouldn't do that? Well, a European man wouldn't do that. Perhaps an Iranian man would. That's what he's saying here. Iranian men would do that. Afghan men would do that. European men wouldn't do that. These things were unheard of in Europe before the age of mass immigration. Imagine R's sentence was harsher than the rapist she defamed because she had a previous conviction for theft and had not attended the court hearing for the case. So the administrative reasons they're giving for it. A court spokesperson told local media that Majid R's hostility was emblematic of the country's lingering anger over the rape case, even 4 years later. I bet they are. I bet the country is absolutely furious that these foreign rapists didn't even get a jail sentence for a gang rape. The case had reached a new worrying level of intensity, he said. This is the guy from the court who was asked to comment on it. He described the criticism as a targeted attack on the rule of law. So he sees that as an attack on the law itself. He doesn't see it that it's criticism of this rapist, that it's justified anger at a rapist being let off. He sees it that it's a targeted attack on this law that they have that says that you're not allowed to say anything offensive about anyone. Germany famously has strict defamation laws that criminalise even the mildest of slurs. Calling someone an idiot in Germany can result in a prison sentence of up to 2 years. We may look at that and say, well, that's ridiculous, but we're the people that put that law in place. The victorious allies are the ones that wrote Germany's laws. We're the ones that gave them the laws, which they enforce. So we can't really say that we're blameless and look at these fools in Germany. It was Britain and America that came up with these laws. As far as I'm aware, I don't think it's a new one. I think it goes back to the law that was put in place after the denazification of Germany. Anyway, it's good news that Ireland has this group that are campaigning to be told the truth about these statistics. And I'm very impressed with the way that they are doing it as well, by referring to facts and statistics. That's the way to make your case. Rely upon the facts and the data that we already have that's been provided by the government. You don't have to come to the same conclusion as the government from those statistics. You can come to your own conclusions from them. Of course, then you might be accused of disinformation, but you're using the facts, and then people can make up their own minds if your conclusion is logical or if the government's conclusion is logical. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.